is Love Field Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Oh, thank you. Help us to be a people that are continually being filled of the Spirit. A people that are sensitive, willing, of ready mind, willing of us. Thank you, Jesus. Honor to your name. Hallelujah. A big amen. Hallelujah. I just feel I should do this review. What was taught last week about speaking to yourself in Psalms, speaking to yourself in hymns, and speaking in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving of thanks, cannot be possible without the indwelling of the word of Christ richly in your heart. Because it is the presence of the word that produces all those things that are listed. Because you can't speak to yourselves in Psalms. Psalms are not poem. Psalms are Holy Ghost inspired words. And if Holy Ghost inspire, Holy Ghost does not generate anything out of the blues. Holy Ghost inspire word, inspire utterances out of the depths of the riches of the word of Christ you have in your heart. Nobody that is shallow in content or in a reservoir of the word of God that will be able to speak to yourselves. Speak to yourself. There is not limited to me only speaking. Like a encounter that happened between Mary and Elizabeth. The Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake out at the salutation of Mary. And you can see that thing that triggered that conversation was, that would say, after Gabriel brought the message to Mary, that would say, and Mary kept those words in her heart. Luke chapter 2. So you must see to it that the causing the word of the law or the word of Christ, you see, they didn't just say any word. Look at that. Let the word of Christ, the Spirit feel life. There's a way you can maintain spirit-filled life under the meek of the word. But you have limitation. You have limitation. Words are not the same. There are classes of the word. There's the meek of the word. There's the meat of the word. And the strong meat of the word. You'll find that in the Hebrews chapter 5. There's the meek of the word. There's a meek of the word from 13, and there's the strong meat of the word. So all these three levels of the word will determine the strength of your feeling of the Spirit. Meek of the word, if feeling of the Spirit is not as strong as a man that have the word of Christ dwelling in his heart, and the amount of how the strength of his feeling of the Spirit will be. And a man that has strong meat of the word, spirit feed will be much stronger because of the strength of the word. Because it is the strength of the word that broods the kamana of the wine of the Spirit. The quality of the word Because there are properties in the word. Like Jesus said in the book of John chapter 5. For the word that I speak are the word that I speak. The word that I speak. The word that I speak has inherent property. The inherent property in the word that I speak is spirit and life. So that impregnant in the word that I speak is spirit and life. So the amount of spirits that the milk of the word carries and the amount of life that the milk of the word carries is lower than the amount of spirit and life that the meat of the word carries. Then the strong meat of the word, spirit and life that's in the strong meat of the word, is strongest in the realm of the word. So you can see that you determine the strength of the infinity of the spirit. So when you can bring three believers, and those three believers that are exposed or that have a first believer only have access, the activity around such a believer, you only have access to the milk of the word. And when such a believer that have only access to the milk of the word, and the amount of the infinity of the spirit that he will carry, he has the way it is, and the mannerism. Because the mannerism of expression of spirit also will differ. And the amount of the world also determines certain possibilities that you can expand yourself expression. So for example, they were talking about Jesus in John chapter 3. John 3, they say that Jesus has spirit without measure. It shows that spirits are in measures. John chapter 3, 34, 35. For he whom God has sent. What means God has sent it? It's not Lord. It's whom God has sent. God does not send anybody. Like Paul and Barnabas, we are part of the prophet and teachers in Antioch. Ours, as we are ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul, and from Barnabas. So the person that sent them was Holy Spirit, not God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the administration of Godhead, there are three things. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6. Rest is good. Answer. Want to go, everybody? Now, there are diversities of gift. Want to go? But the same spirit. Full stop. Want to go to the next one? And there are differences of administration. But what? But the same Lord. Want to go verses? And there are diversity of oppression. But it's the same God. So, in the economy of the word, and in the economy of the spirit, you can bring three believers. They are all a what believer. But you find out what kind of allocation of the word are you exposed to. And the allocation of the word that you are exposed to will brood a type of a wine in you. And that wine, you will fill with that wine. So, like I was saying, the being that sent Paul and Barnabas by nature was not God. He was the Spirit. Although Holy Ghost is not different from God, but Holy Ghost has an exclusive right according to Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Paul was talking to Acts of Apostles chapter 20 when he gathered the elders of Ephesus. He told them, he said, I commend to God, say, you whom Holy Ghost has make you an overseer. God is not overseer of churches. Holy Ghost is the one that is overseeing church. Jesus is not overseer of church. Jesus is the head of the church. But Trinity has their different function. And they have different responsibilities. That's why it would be wrong for you to start praying. I pray in the name of God. That's disorderliness in the spirit. Even Jacob like said, when he said, well, so you have the fast, I've not said you should ask me anything. Jacob like said, don't ask me. I do not say you should ask me, you pray, don't ask me. But ask the Father in my name. So it's wrong for you to say, I pray in the name of Holy Ghost. You are disorderly. In the realm of the Spirit, they are order. So you see that you can bring three believers and you can say that, and when you see them, three of them are filled with the Spirit because they are war. The allocation of the word in them are dwelling in them richly. They are rich. But you can see a man that is rich with the milk of the word. And by reason of the milk of the word, a manner and a kind of wine of the Spirit will be brewed. And that man will be filled with the Holy Ghost. But that Holy Ghost that is filled with, or is filled with the Spirit, is in measure. Because you cannot carry the oppression of God. You can't carry the same Spirit, the same God, if the Spirit does not work on you, and the Lord does not work on you. God is the last thing, is the last person. Because your soul must have gained strength and stamina and stature and exercise. So Jesus, in John 3, they say, whom God sent, pick the words of God. They call the word of God two-edged sword. It's not every word that's two-edged sword. What God speaks is two-edged sword. Anything that comes out of the mouth of God is two-edged. I mean, everything that comes out of the mouth of God has two sides to it. So the word of God, the word of God, the Father, the word, and the Trinity, the person of the Holy Ghost, the person of Jesus, the word that God speaks is called two-edged sword. The word of Christ is not a two-edged sword. Bible does not liken the word that comes from the mouth of Jesus as two-edged sword. They liken the word that comes from the mouth of God as two-edged sword. That's the description of that word. They liken the word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus as fire. They liken it as fire and water. But because of the, why? Because of the inward flame. The way God, the Father, is flame on the inside. So what we belch out? When the Father belch out, what he belch out is called sword of the Spirit. So words have their DNA. They have their DNA, and their DNA is as a result of inherent properties that are in those beings. So a man that have access to the word of the meek of the world and is full of the meek of the world, we brood a kind of infilling of the Spirit. But you cannot compare that infilling of the Spirit to a man that have the meat of the word. So what they call the word of Christ is the meat of the word. So in that Colossians, we say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're saying, let the meat of the word dwell in you richly. But just as the meat, word of Christ can dwell in you richly, also the word of God can also dwell in you richly. Because you graduate from the word. They don't start you with the word of God. Nobody give a knife to a 6-year-old child. Even when your child can use cutleries, the kind of cutlery you give to children are plastic cutleries. Even they have changed the amount of cutlery they use now, they change it to wooden cutleries because of sharp plastics. So likewise, God will not give the word of God to a child. The word of God is given to a soul that's a man in the spirit. You must have been a man. If you're not a man, they won't give you access to the word of God. He called the word of God. And I've tasted of the good word of God. In Hebrews 6, those are where God keeps his oaths. The word of God carries the two immutable things that is impossible for God to lie. When God knows that your capacity to change or backslide or turn, God don't give you the word of God. Because when they give the word of God, if you go against the word of God, they will judge you. That's the essence of Hebrews 10. They're talking about those who have not despised to the word, or to the spirit of grace. Because the word of God gives, God empowers the spirit of grace. Hebrews 10, 29. Of Saul, for our former punishment, supposing that shall be taught worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, is everlasting covenant, wherein you are sanctified, an holy thing, and have done despite to the Spirit of grace. So the Spirit of grace there is the thing you receive through the word of God. So this was John, the man that no one was greater than. He was the one that was introducing, he himself was an Adam that was introducing the last Adam. It was John the Baptist that they quoted here. Because the disciple came to him that he that you introduced is now baptizing. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. And he said, he that God sent, he whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God for God. For God. So God can give spirit. For God given not the spirit by measure unto him. Then he now say, why? What did happen? The Father is God. God the Father loved his Son and had given all things unto his hand. So now there are diversities of gifts. But the same spirit. So you must know that in the infilling of the spirit, there are diversity to it. It's not the same. By God's grace. I've been filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit more than 25 years ago. And I've maintained and I've obeyed God. I've gone through obediences. I've gone through trials. I've gone through persecutions. Also, I've journeyed with different kind of word. So you can be filled with the Spirit in a meeting and also filled with the Spirit in a meeting. And you have expression and you can wake up and manifest some abilities. You will be wrong. You will not be wise to think that your infilling of the Spirit is the same thing with me. Because firstly, my vessel that carried the wine have been worked upon over time. Work upon my vessel, my cup. My cup is my soul. Because your soul arrangement also determines how much. Because your soul can either contaminate the activity of the Spirit or limit it. So over time, because of the exercise of my soul, through nature of the word I've exposed my soul to, through obedience, through dealings, through different things, my soul has been fashioned in a way that it can carry the infinite of the Spirit more finer and better than you. That's why when you read Isaiah 25 was describing different kind of wine of the Spirit. And in this mountain, said the Lord of hosts, make unto all people a feast of fattings, a feast of wines on the lees, and of fatting full of marrow, and of wine on the lees. Where he find? It shows that there are different. So there's a wine on the lees, but there's a wine on the lees. Where he find? All wine are not the same. So you must know that. I want to connect wisdom to something. There are different kinds of perfume. But the strongest perfume is oil-based perfume. They last longer. It's oil-based perfume. Some perfume are without oil. But there are, those are 100% oil-based. Those oil-based, some of them, 2 hours, you don't smell it again. Some of them, 5 hours. But oil-based, almost a week. Even they last longer. So what's the difference? Concentration of the oil. Likewise, is in the spirit. Concentration of the oil. There's no way you want to maintain life in the spirit and you are using phone to study your Bible. You must know that to stay on the word, the discipline of the word, not just reading the word, let the word of Christ dwell. And what cannot dwell in your heart? What don't dwell in your heart by hearing first? James taught us how to cause the word to dwell in you. He said, whosoever heareth the word. For if any man be a hearer of the word, everybody is a hearer of the word. And not a doer. is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. And if behold himself and go his way and straightforward, forget what manner of man he was. Word of Christ cannot dwell in you if you are not a doer of the word. Word of Christ can't dwell in you if you are not a doer. What dwells in you is what you do. You understand how we do it? What you do is what dwells in you. There must be preparedness of heart and readiness of heart to do. Gabriel met Mary. Mary took step and began to journey to meet Elizabeth. That's a doing. Not be me alone go hear this word. He went. Because it was Gabriel that leaked the secret. Nobody knew that Elizabeth is already with pregnancy for 6 months. Because the difference between John and Jesus was 6 months age. So John was older than Jesus came with 6 months. This was Elizabeth. This was when the angel came to Mary. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 months with her who was called barren. It was Gabriel. Because Gabriel was one that told. And immediately, Mary had also the next thing. And said, you mean this? Because those days, there's no phone call. But in fact, Bible said that Elizabeth, when Elizabeth went to go and heal herself, Elizabeth started coming out. Because a woman was sitting in the how would they hear? Say, I don't put on belly, mama 70. And Mary arose in those days and went to the east country with haste. Because she was not aware. I'm just talking, but this just to tell you the kind of person that Mary is. She's a person that believed the word, that moved with the word. This attitude, you also find it that when Gabriel told her, you shall be with a child. He said, actually, this is saying I'm a virgin. Gabriel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the Spirit of the Highest shall rest upon you, and thou only shall be born of you, shall become the Son of God. So let him be to me according to your word. I'm talking about value for the word, premium for the word, and immediately, let him be to me according to your word. He rose up, because that attitude to the word. Word of God dwelling in you is good for you to memorize the word, but that is not the word of God dwelling in you, it's not memorizing. Where they want the word of God to dwell is your heart. The word must dwell in your heart. The word of God dwelling in your heart, richly, in all wisdom. If the word is dwelling in your heart, there must be evident of wisdom. What is that wisdom? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, for this is the wisdom which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The wisdom which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the wisdom which Holy Ghost teacheth, that means as I'm teaching, Holy Ghost is supposed to be teaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, 22. But you have not so learned Christ. When I'm teaching, or you are reading your Bible, you are only hearing first. Faith come by hearing, continuously. You don't stop hearing. When I stop teaching, you have not stopped hearing. You are designed to be hearing. When you are sleeping, you don't stop hearing. That's why it's a blessing. When God open your ear to be to hear, he said the book of Bible, a hearing here. And they sing eyes. They are a gift of God. They are not talking about physical hair like this. Because this one will feel here. But you know here. I don't know they hear. It's a gift of God. The hearing here and the seeing eye. The Lord I make even both of them. They have to make it in you. When they bless with hearing here, that you are in a meeting place is not hearing place. So you can see that this is a gift of God. That you don't stop hearing because you are not in church. There's a place that we used to go and teach. We usually go to that man's house weekend to go and teach. When we are teaching, the man will sleep off. His wife is there hearing us, but he will sleep off. Because, and when we finish waking up, he will be telling us, everything we are teaching, we've seen it in vision. Everything we are teaching, we've seen it in vision. When we say, we usually recap what we just saw, we just keep telling, say, I saw this, I saw that. Well, this is we just finished now. So, sleeping does not stop hearing. Because what is hearing is not your body. What's hearing is your heart. Yes. And heart does not sleep. Heart does not sleep. This is a thing you must know. When I say, faith, come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What is hearing is not this meat. This is meat. This is flesh. What is hearing is your heart. So, that you are in service or you are out of service. If you are not in service and you are not hearing the spirit, you are hearing the voice of your flesh. When you are hungry, you are hearing. Your stomach talk to your brain. So, you hear. And when hunger is talking to you, you are not in source of it. They are not doing praise worship. There's no hymn. You are not singing hymn. But it's communicating. You understand what your stomach is telling your body. You understand what your body is telling? And your body is called outward man. They call this being, these bones, everything, this organ inside, they call that the outward man. The outward man can hear. The outward man hear from what external thing speaks to the body. I'm feeling cold. I'm feeling hot. It's the skin. It has a voice. And it takes that voice and communicate. So the outward man, yes. That's why Job said, book of Job, I make covenant with my eyes that I will not behold a maiden twice. The outward man is a man. So yeah. But you're not just an outward man. Your outward man is your house. Your rib man is your soul. So just like the outward man has senses of hearing, your inward man also has senses to hear. So when your inward man's senses open, you are in your bed. You are not doing praise and worship. Suddenly, you feel cold. And you lose duvet to call yourself. Sometimes you feel hot. You remove your clothes and open windows. Because something external is speaking to you. Likewise also to your soul. Your soul does not need to only be in service before you hear the Spirit. Because your soul is a man. They call your soul inward man. Just like this, an outward man with his senses. The inward man also have his senses. The inward man have his ear. The inward man has his eyes. The inward man has his tongue. The inward man has his heart. The inward man has his mind. The inward man has his leg. The inward man has his hand. That's why you say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not with your tongue, eh? But with tongue of your inward man. It's not in church. Just like physical environment, just like happening externally, he's speaking to you. Sometimes you enter into the sun. Say, this sun is so hot. What tell you is hot? Something in your outward man feel the speaking. And it communicates to your nerves and your brain. Likewise also, it's Holy Ghost always speaking from your inside. And your spirit, though you are lying and you are tired, you can be so tired like anything. You are overworking yourself and your body is tired. But your spirit is not tired. That's why you don't have excuse. Say, I'm tired, I can't pray. Tiredness does never stop you to pray. Because what is tired is that one man. The one man is not tired. Though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day, day by day. The inward man is renewed. The outward man may be tired because you have overworked your outward man. Even though you are lying down in your bed, is tired. But your inward man is renewed. Why you refuse to pray? It's because you are allowing the outward man more. You are more at home with the outward man than your inward man. If you can just switch, though you are tired, you are work. Especially if you are into bricklayer work, all those hard labor work, you are so tired and those times you are tired. Well, what just to do to lie down on that bed? And lie down on that bed, you are tired. And just switch into your inward. Oh, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. You are speaking to yourself. I know my Redeemer liveth. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. You are lying down in your bed. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to you, Jesus. Go mana sakini ampadiante sabala. Asistaria baba. Ayantro monomo senserebilia. Akrantorime cresoria baba 10 minutes. Asuraindere marico rensobilia 30 minutes. Suddenly, it's a surge. A mighty surge into your body. For if the spirit that raised Christ Jesus dwells in you, the spirit that raised Christ Jesus shall give you life to my mortal body. That body is tired. But that body just needs infusion of some life. And where that life is, it's never tired. It just improves. By the time it finished, you won't find that tiredness again. I'm not telling you what I don't know. I know it as I know my middle name. I can't forget my middle name. I know this experience very well. Because the spirit that catches you, if it dwells you, it will give life to your tired, exhausted body. If you give it. Because your body may be tired, but your soul is not tired. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded. Say that proceeded. From the mouth of the Lord. So that's what is proceeding. And what is proceeding is not time bound. That proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. So you can't speak to yourself in psalms. You can't speak to yourself in hymns. Singing spiritual song, making melody, it can never be possible if you are not a person that like the word of God to dwell in you richly. And the word of God is not doing you by memorizing it. It dwells in you by doing it. What dwells in you is what you do. What do you mean? What to take step. Nobody that takes step continually based on the word that builds himself in the mirror and become forgetful here. If you build yourself and you're a doer, something dwells in you. You do and something dwells. You begin to do, something dwells. So all those things is the word of God dwelling in you. When the word of God dwells in you, you will speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because there's something that is proceeding from the mouth of the Lord. Proceeded out. It's proceeding. And you just need to latch up the words proceeding. And get your soul fired up. And eventually you get your body quickened, energized by that same provision of the Spirit. That's why the order in Ephesians, they said, do not be filled with wine excess. What they spoke well, after they talk, submitting yourself to one another, which is submission to one another. For effectual working, you must submit to one another. Submission to one another is recognizing that your brother and your sister is an integral part of you. And no part grow in isolation. In fact, member of the body that grow in isolation, they call it cancerosis. Cancer grow abnormal growth. It's abnormal growth. And it's death. Nobody wants abnormal growth in his body. That is death. Likewise, submitting to one another is important. Peter taught it. Let the younger submit to the elder. After he said that, he now said, submitting to one another in Peter. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Who stop? Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Younger ones submit to the elders, and we must submit to one another. Why? To culture an attitude of humility. Humility, meekness, lowliness is a learning. You can taught it in Matthew 11, 11. Come unto me, you that labor, and everything. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. It's a hard thing that you learn. You have to learn it. And we have to learn it consciously. The younger submitted to elders, and the elders learn to submit to one another. We are living in a world that don't like to submit. That's why they will never be in the spirit. Apostle Paul had to go and submit himself to those who are apostles before him in Jerusalem. Peter had to submit himself to Paul. Peter was already married when Jacob was upon the head. Paul must be a baby. But he said the wisdom which God gave to our brother Paul, he acknowledged it and submitted to those understanding that Paul wrote. Because you should know those who are your senior, not only age. You must honor your brother. No, that would say, give honor to whom honor is due. Have you seen where they bring intestine or cow out? The kind of smelly it is. And what is smelling there, you are the one that chop on with your mouth. If you see the kind of smell, when they bring it out. And so, often you may even ask some of your brethren that uncomely. You must learn to honor one another. Honor starts from the heart. Honor is a place of the heart. And reverence, the culture of reverence, is a thing that is gradually dying. And any generation that don't have reverence will not carry spirits. Any generation that does not have reverence, not only reverence and honor for holy things, but reverence for their brothers and sisters. Respect of person is then for culture of honor and reverence. And James frowned has such a way of life. James frowned at it. Paul also frowned at it. He said, such men, they do such to hold men admiration. Those are carnality. They are flesh. James said it that some people, when they come to church, people use their apparel. That general worldly slogan. dressed the way you want to be addressed. Those are carnal, worldly judgment. So don't address men the way they dress. Some wife can submit to their pastor, but they don't submit to their own husband. If you submit to your pastor, you will not be Holy Ghost filled, and you don't submit to your husband. Submitting to your own husband is as unto the Lord. And that is how you become filled with the Holy Ghost. That is how you become continually filled in the Spirit. It's heart posture. I know your husband may be misbehaving. And every tendency that when you see someone is misbehaving, you despise them. But that's Satan attacking your work with God. You must know that it's a warfare. Paul wrote to Corinthian church, because it is called that there are women, we are unruly, but they can manifest gifts of the Spirit. Paul said, because women, we are not in submission to their husband. He said, let every woman learn from their own husband. Let your women keep silence in the churches. So people saw these churches mean that every church, no. That's where people quoted it from. That I'm not permitted for a woman to be a woman preacher. No. Paul will be negating because he has a couple that were a preacher. Paul wrote to a church in a territory like Ephesus. So they have their headers. So there are churches in the houses. Household. Because in those days, household used to be large. Not like husband and wife and three children. So he told them in Corinthians that let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. So some people took this thing, said that a woman should not speak. No, this is not what Paul's talking. But they are commanded to be under obedience, I also said the law. For if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What he's saying that a woman, what, should not usurp authority. So it's not saying that a woman cannot be a prophecy. It can't say that a woman cannot be a preacher. It's not saying that a woman cannot lead a ministry. So gift does not say that you should not be submitted. That you know how to give prophecy and your prophecy come accurate. Some people say they have prayer ministry, they want to hijack church from the pastors. They don't want to submit. They feel that because they have prayer ministry, the pastor should submit to them. Again, thought about that. About some people that have prayer ministry in early church, they say they are, and they want to control church. No! You can be the most anointed in our midst. That does not exempt you from submitting. Anointing is there from submission. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. That fear of the Lord is reverence. Because you can be submitting as you are grumbling as a wife. If not because the Bible says we should submit. Should you be the one that woman we should submit to? You have not submitted. You are complaining. You are murmuring. You are not submitting. You are still a rebellious soul. Submitting. Also, husband, you must also learn to submit to your wife's wise counsel. Don't be boss man. You should know that which is wise. Holy Ghost, everybody have come to tell me, with this thing, lead to art of life. Holy Ghost, give me a wisdom of how to judge things. Is there anything that will not take life or art human's body? If your wife wants it, but you won't art life, you won't physical life, you won't spiritual life, let it go. Even sometimes, we have preferences. Because that you marry a woman, she's not a robot. She has her food that she's like to eat before she marry you. And you can't say because she has meat, she must be eating your food. Now that's for a man. There are places where you'll find a meat, but I don't think that there's nothing you can do. You have to just find a middle ground. But in the midst of that, there must be act of reverence. Reverence is regard. I discovered something a few years ago. I discovered that a lot of men that broke their wives, either they had extramarital affair or that they were bitter against the husband, all those women developed terminal diseases. All of them die. The men that offended them, that they're angry with, they are still alive. Some of them are still alive today. In their 80s, 90s. Bible told it. It said, husband, don't be bitter against your wife. A man can be bitter against his wife. You see, anything your wife say, when she's angry, she doesn't mean it. And don't count it against them. To be a father, what she said is that when she's happy with you, that's what she really means. Everything she said when she's angry, she doesn't mean it. You must be wise like that. And likewise, husband. See, that's why the Bible says we should be slow to speak. It's very slow to speak. But we should rather be quick to hear. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. For what? Foolishness is abound when you have wrath in your heart. So you must know this. On the issue of gravity and sobriety, nobody is born to be sober. Sobriety is not inferiority complex. Sobriety is a training of the heart by the word of faith. It takes doctrine to culture sobriety. Sobriety comes by the doctrine of righteousness. So it's the doctrine of righteousness that cultures sobriety. If we be sober, we must love doctrine. And not any doctrine, not regulation, but doctrine of righteousness. It is the more you know what is right in the sight of God, the more you become sober. Because soberness comes as a result of your heart being wise. Soberness is as a result that you are becoming wiser in your heart. So the more you give yourself to doctrine, wisdom, because what doctrine means? Doctrine will open the wisdom called Christ. Or doctrine will open the wisdom called God to you. And it is in doctrine that you learn the wisdom of life to be sober. Soberness is not to be moody. Soberness simply means to be courteous and to have caution. To be courteous and to have caution. That was a sober mind. A sober heart. You will not be high-minded. Your soul is not over-excited. Because soul can be over-excited. You can be excited because you haven't got a new job. And you are carried away. And you fall into condemnation of Satan. That's why the Bible tells us that we should not use a novice to make an elder or a deacon in church. Because you can see that it's not a deaconess, a deacon. And it's you have to say, he puff up. Because now, yes, I'm not a deacon. You come here. It's not being sober for elders and deacons of church to gather reverend and they will write letters. You transfer their bishop to the reverend. He said that those people are not sober. They are sensual. They operate from their mind than from the spirit. Because he will not dance to their tune. So Paul warned Timothy, when you are choosing deacons and deaconesses and elders, make sure that one of the criteria that you must be, there must be men that are sober. And it's only deacons that should be sober. All of us should be sober. Soberness does not make you to take one step. Soberness does not allow you to overestimate yourself. Soberness will make you to always underestimate yourself. You will put yourself down than you were in the spirit. One of the things they say, if you're going to escape Satan, the devil, crying lion, that be sober and vigilant. You cannot be vigilant if you're not sober. You'll be careless, carefree. You're always going to play into the hand of the enemy when you're not sober. When you're not sober, you will say what you don't say. And every time, you will need to come and apologize for it. But soberness will guide your soul. Will caution your heart. May the Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.